Good God. Why, oh, why, oh, why should Kyrie Irving have the opportunity to say, here's the teams I'd play with? Honest to God, we wonder how an individual can become as delusional as he is, as full of himself as he is. And then we say, okay, where do you want to go next? Now, I'll make one exception. With the Lakers, you're probably desperate enough to say, well, that's the one place it might make sense.
I agree.
Because they've got so few other viable options.
I read a guy out of L.A. last night that said this is what they have to do.
Yeah.
Because they really don't have anything else.
You hold your nose as you do it, but you say, well, that might be the best opportunity. But it's just like, God, he's earned it, hasn't he? He's definitely earned the opportunity to say, here's where I'll go, here's where I'll not go, after he quit on another team on several levels. It's unbelievable. It's your country. Bumper to Bumper is the name of the show. Thank you to Bill Guerin. Nice hour visit with him in studio. First time we've had him in studio, and I hope we'll have an opportunity to do it again. And we'll certainly keep the lines of communication open once we get close to the draft and into training camp. Will be right around the corner, man. Days are already getting shorter.
That's what they tell us.
And it's amazing. Johnny Athletic with the latest Wolves draft / trade steam, because there's some good tantalizing stuff to get to with him. The inbox will be opened at 4:30, and there's still time to get in on the fun. JG at KFAN.com if you'd like to participate in tonight's edition, this afternoon's edition of Dr. Dan's Inbox. Congratulations in order to your Minnesota Twins for at least salvaging Game 3, getaway day, against the Cleveland Guardians. And how did they do it? They did it with pitching, pitching, pitching. 1-0 the final. Your guy, Devin Smeltzer, was elite.
The stopper.
He was exactly that. It looked like it was, I assumed it was going to unravel, because Joe Smith comes in, I think, in the 7th. Smeltzer goes 6, I believe.
You got it.
And Joe Smith starts the 7th. And before you know it, it's bases loaded, nobody out, a pair of walks, and a hit batsman, I believe. Bases loaded, nobody out, up 1. And you're saying, we're done. It's a misadventure. It's another bullpen implosion, not to be, I guess you could say, confused with the two the previous nights.
Yeah.
And what does Joe Smith do? He planted his feet and he said, I got this.
Not today, boys.
And he did.
Yeah. He got out.
He got a pair of force outs at home and then a decently hit ball to right field, a fly out to end the threat. The Guardians had another threat in the 8th. Got a runner in scoring position after, I want to say it was a hit batsman and then a wild pitch, but they did nothing with it. And in the 9th, I was so engrossed in the Guerin conversation, I don't know if the Guardians had any base runners. But a testament, once again, to what we already know about the game of baseball, the importance of pitching.
Because go ahead, but I'll let you finish. But in the 9th, Cleveland did get a runner to 2nd. But then Theobar was able to get the next couple.
Okay,
out.
There it was, and that ended it. Honest to God, I'm not making this up. I thought when the Twins went up 10-7 in improbable fashion with a couple bleeder hits leading to the 3-run dong, I said, "Well, no, they're not gonna blow this one." And I'm watching the Stanley Cup Finals apparently more than Wild General Manager Bill Guerin, and I flip back out of curiosity, and it says 11-10, and the Twins are batting in the bottom of the 9th. I said, whoa, was it a grand slam? What happened? Well, it wasn't a grand slam. It was a series of hits and misadventures, and another, as we mentioned, bullpen disaster for your favorite club. And that's sort of been the moral of the story lately, which is what makes at least getting this victory something to grab onto. Let's go back a little bit. We've played, in the last week and a half or so, we've played the Yankees and Cleveland, both teams with very accomplished starting pitchers Yankees even more than Cleveland, obviously, but pitchers who are used to going deep into games on a regular basis, something that we're not familiar with. So, example, we roughed up Gerrit Cole. He yielded 7 runs in 2 innings. We roughed up Taillon. He gave up 10 runs. We got 4 runs on him, is what I should say, in just 4 innings. Last night, we roughed up McKenzie, who's been another pitcher who's pitched deep into games. We got 6 runs off him in 4 innings. And in all those games, we lost them all. All that good work by your offense, by your lineup against established pitchers.
Big arms.
Went nowhere. Why? Because against Gerrit Cole, our pitchers gave up 10 runs total. Against Taillon, our pitchers gave up 10 runs total. Against McKenzie, our pitchers gave up 11 runs. So in those, now you could say against Savali, I think, what did he give up? I think he only gave up 2 runs, as I recall it, in the 4 or 5 innings he pitched. But in that game, we gave up, I believe it was 6 runs. Bottom line is, in those 4 games, all losses, so because we go 2-4
yep,
in combo with the Yankees and Cleveland both here, in those 4 losses, we gave up 37 runs. Pitching. That's why what happened today stood out, and to the degree it did, and seemed as improbable as it indeed was. So we avoid the sweep. The brooms are irrelevant. We at least get the one victory before Cleveland leaves, preparing for 5 more with I think it's a nice Guardians club, I got to tell you. Now, again, I'm admitting they're hot right now, so we're seeing them at their best. But they're nicely balanced. And I misspoke yesterday because I said, well, Twins have a better lineup. Well, in terms of runs scored per game, because you got to remember, Cleveland's played 6 fewer games than we have. Cleveland's actually averaging more runs per game than we are. Now, does that mean their lineup's better? I don't know. They got one MVP candidate, but they got a lot of pieces where it just looks like they're good at keeping the ball in play. They didn't get the clutch hit. You know, they squandered their big moment, bases loaded, nobody out, as we said. But I like the way they go about doing their business, and I do like their pitchers. I like their pitchers a lot, including the starter today, who was quite good and just gave up it was a single dong, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Nick Gordon.
Nick Gordon to mm-hmm. straightaway center field. I thought it was not very well hit, but that's just me. But
concrete settled in this humidity.
Apparently the concrete has indeed settled. So there you have it. Let's do this. Let's get back on schedule. And we'll also, I do have some stuff I want to get to NBA draft related even before we get to Johnny Athletic, because today is indeed the day. But let's put a grand in somebody's hand.
And don't forget about the inbox 15 minutes from now, jg@kfan.com if you want to get in on Dr. Dan's inbox. The Fan and Hilltop Camper and RV trying to put a grand in your hand. It's our national cash contest. Head to kfan.com, enter the keyword green. That's your shot at $1,000. Go to kfan.com and enter the keyword. Man.
How much I'm in love with Charles Barkley. I would probably watch draft NBA ESPN draft coverage pillar to post. Is that what what's the saying? Something to post?
Pillar to post.
Pillar to post.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
If he was in on it. But he's not going to be, right? Would change everything for me. And I don't even care if he doesn't know the players that well.
Right.
But...
Well, that's what...
it ain't going to happen, I don't think.
Pat Forty said that about Tony Siragusa.
The Goose?
The Goose, yeah. Who passed away yesterday. Yes. He said that when they were at Yahoo together, or something together, they worked on draft coverage together. And Forty said Siragusa was light on preparation, but high on everything else. And he goes, it was the most memorable thing. And that would be Barkley in the draft, right?
It's all voltage. It's all about the voltage. It
personality.
Matters. And, be honest, again, some substance, too, because I think he's got good instincts on evaluation of players across the board. I during the break, though, thought about it and said, I want to stay with the Twins a little bit more because we didn't cover the other, you could maybe argue, even more important looming issue that has reared its head once again, and that's Byron Buxton. Buxton out again. This is not, it's pretty clear by the way Rocco is talking, and he's been pretty expansive, I think, on this, perhaps smartly, because of the way the Twins have tended to do this, that this is more than load management or maintenance of that, you know, that grand master plan, which was we're just trying to get him to 100 plus games. It sounds like there was some swelling in the knee, and now they're talking about a situation where he's hurt again and can't move well enough to participate. Now, I thought it was also interesting that the manager said that for now, the Twins are not planning on placing Buxton on any of the several injured lists available. They're counting and hoping that if they just give him a couple extra days off now, that maybe the whatever the problem that's flaring up, if it is related to swelling in the knee, will go down. Now, I heard Dan Gladden today make, I think, an important observation that I agree with to a certain extent. Part of what has to be figured out, that there's a difference, there is a significant difference, even as somebody who's been hard on this club regarding coddling players. There's a big difference between doubling down on this load management plan and a player being hurt.
Right.
And if he has hurt again, if this sort of chronic issue is rearing its head, it scares me, again, an awful lot, given his age and given the relative lack of mileage on his baseball body. But you can't play him. Makes no sense. He also asked one other question worth, I think, repeating. You go to the doctors and you say, all right, if... how much of this is going to be pain tolerance, and how much of it is, if you play him under these conditions, you are going to worsen whatever the condition is right. that he's dealing with? Because if it's the latter, again, it's easy. If it's the former, is it possible that the Twins are going to have another come to Jesus moment and alter this whole proposition and say, if he can handle it, we're going to let him go out there. Now, if he can't move, then obviously he can't play.
Right.
Right? I mean, right. if the knee is bothering him to that extent. But we're here again with, I think, harsh reality looking us in the butt, because there was already a lot of, premature salivation going on regarding, well, it's working. It was great. See? You guys were complaining about this system, but look how many games he's played and how few he's missed. Small sample size, boys and girls. What was that, 3 weeks ago or a month ago we heard about this? How long have we been doing this? Since it all went public, when it all blew up.
Yeah, about a month.
Maybe?
And people were peacocking about it a week ago.
Yes, it's like, didn't you need to have a little bit more time before you could say that? And now we're finding out, let's stop peacocking about it, because whatever you want to think of, that's what has allowed him to continue to play. He ain't playing anymore. And now he might not be playing for an extended period, perhaps out of necessity, and it opens the door to all sorts of questions about whether this is going to be the added albatross now that goes well beyond what might be classified as scheduled days off. Because these are now unscheduled days off, correct?
Right, they are. And you're right, there's the thing they got to figure out is that it's the old hurt or injured deal. Like, if this was September, yes, and they were in a pennant race, could he play? Like, is there a time where they are going to have to push it? I don't necessarily know if now is the time to do it. You'd like to have him available against Cleveland every game. That's next week, obviously. He probably won't be, because I'm guessing they'll go back, especially the doubleheader day, they'll probably go back to some type of maintenance plan if he is back by Friday right. or Saturday, which Rocco intimated today he might be. They hope to have him back by Friday or Saturday. But it is, yeah, it's the big elephant in the room now the rest of the way. If, you know, it's that bad where he literally can't really do much of anything, not even go out there to DH. It's going to be a deal, which, by the way, I actually don't hate the $15 million a year for the whole thing. Like, to me, I still think he's reasonable. I know you and I probably disagree a little bit. Like, given his price, the reason that he was probably gettable at 15 mil with all those incentives that they built into it was because they anticipated that, hey, historically you have not been healthy and you haven't been able to play more than 100 games but one time in your career when he somehow played 140, which seems so crazy now to think about it in 2017.
It's nuts, yeah.
I'd still take my chances, but yeah, you got to it's going to be the never-ending thing, it appears, for this season. Who knows if this knee thing is something you're going to be dealing with for the rest of his career or not. I don't know if that's been established either, right? Is a full offseason going to get this thing healthy?
That's where you say, when you factor his age, you're talking about a knee, are you back to the chronic place? Now, I guess there have been occasions offseason where knees get cleaned up. Is it that kind of thing, or is there something more substantial about what is ailing this particular leg or knee, which is apparently what it's about? Now, Rocco apparently also said today, he's not in the IL, and the doctors aren't telling us that that's necessarily a way to get this any better. So then you start going with, well, then if that's true, is it more about ability to move on it and pain threshold? You know, does that mean, well, maybe you don't play him as much in center field, but you can continue to DH him? Now, clearly he's still got to go around the base paths, which means some movement, but it's not quite the same as having to patrol through all of center field. So I don't know. There's as many questions as answers. But it was interesting to hear Rocco apparently today get pretty expansive on it. I think probably because he knows he's going to get peppered forever. And if you don't give people a little bit more to chew on, then you're going to be dealing with it for forever and ever. But I hope that question gets answered about, you know, pain versus injury. And if the pain is such, because sometimes you say, well, if the player can deal with the pain, yes and no, because if that level of pain impacts his movement severely, then you're back to you probably shouldn't play him, even if there's no inherent danger in further aggravating the injury by playing him. That makes this whole thing very complicated. But as you look forward, it's another potential hurdle that's rearing its head again at, you know, what you could say the very wrong time, given that you've got a bunch of games within the division now, including five more with Cleveland, I believe, starting Monday, and I believe there's a doubleheader on Tuesday. Let's come back and get into Dr. Dan's inbox. Johnny Athletic with the very latest Wolves speculation. That will be right after the top.
Yeah, the Fan.
Live from the NBA draft red carpet. Shouldn't surprise anybody. It's With It and Wow. 2 hours, 23 minutes, and 30 seconds from the start of the National Basketball Association draft. We're picking 19 right now. What do you get, 5 minutes for the draft in the NBA?
So.
I think it's 5 minutes, isn't it?
I think it's five, if not.
It's an hour, I think, for each pick first round in the NFL, but it's
first
five.
First round is 90 minutes.
Pretty sure it's 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You familiar with Dane Moore?
I love Dane Moore. I saw this tweet you're referencing.
16 minutes ago, he writes this: I've been saying for the past month that I've heard it is over a 50% chance that D'Angelo Russell is traded this offseason. Conversations with a few non-Timberwolves sources today suggest a Russell trade is now even more likely, either tonight or the first week of July. Very interesting to hear that, and it's one of the subjects we will discuss. I'll find out if Johnny Athletic agrees with him when he joins at about 5:15 today. I think you had almost resolved yourself of he's coming back. We're going to do the slow cook. We're going to see how it goes. I was going to be okay with it if you don't have any legitimate offers. Maybe they feel like they've got some legitimate offers. I do fear that the further we get from the end of the season, it maybe became too easy to just then go back to concentrating on the things that D'Lo does well, as opposed to the things that were going to be or had been problematic from time to time. And because I was certainly at the end of the season, the group that says move, you got to move them. I still feel like the long term, it'll be in the long term interest of this team that he's not a part of it. I was willing to consider that the best way to get out of it is just to play it out this year, see where it goes. If you somehow strike gold with the new president of basketball operations, you figure out a way to keep him. If not, you let him go. You got a fat contract that then elapses and a bunch of money to play with at the end of the season. But it's interesting to hear those comments from Dane Moore. We'll see if others who are around this team and cover this team indeed agree. Meantime,
it's time for Dr. Dan's Inbox.
Every Thursday, right around 4:30, and if you're a company that wants to sponsor and be part of some great real estate in the Bumper to Bumper program, we'd love to have you. We would love to have you. Dear Dr. Dan, when we took over, you overhauled our department, and we'd use stats to guide decisions. I know we work out of sight and out of mind. We're basically calculator clowns that don't have social lives. For Dee Falvey and R. Baldelli, I guess we need to go back to the basics and dumb it down a little bit rather than speaking in convoluted circles and numbers. Through yesterday, the bullpen has pitched the third most innings in the American League, 290, while surrendering the most home runs, 42. So our analytic conclusion is, pitch the bullpen less! When will our voices be heard? M. Twins Analytic Department.
Well, that sounds good in theory. It really does. And Dr. Dan has tended to agree with that sentiment. The pre-programmed, before-the-game notion that we had these two pitchers earmarked for two innings each. So that means we got to use them. Doesn't matter what happens before then, we got to use them. Makes no sense. It's not even really, I wouldn't even call it managing myself. But the other way to look at it is this. You have to have legitimate starting pitcher options, and you can't have a bunch of sort of, innings requirements, innings limits on so many of your starting pitchers that to a certain extent maybe forces R. Baldelli's hand to go to the pen more than he would even prefer to go to the pen, because it seems like every one of our pitchers had some kind of limit on them. The early excuse was, well, that's true for all in baseball because of the shortened spring training, right? That made some sense eventually, but if you read the fine print, the truth was we had so many damaged goods pitchers or pitchers who were 2 or 3 years removed, full of injury, that the assumption was to get to the finish line with the greatest number of these pitchers, we have to baby them even more than one would on the basis of the shortened spring training. So it kind of becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you continue to try to fill your rotation with maybes and guys who are well past their prime, who can't go past the fifth inning because his arm's going to fall off if he does, because his arm has tended to fall off when he pitches more than five innings. One more point. And this is another, I give, Dan Gladden was on his A game today. He made this, I think, essential point that the Twins need to figure out, and perhaps a lot of other so-called modern baseball people do. There's that cliche. Well, if you look at the numbers, third time through the order, this pitcher gets exposed. So what do we do? We'll avoid having him go through the lineup the third time. But as Gladden pointed out today, that too becomes self-fulfilling. If you don't often enough give a pitcher a chance to figure out how to make his adjustments, people always talk about hitters making adjustments the third time around. It's not illegal. I looked it up for pitchers to make adjustments and to say, okay, I came at this hitter the first two times this way.
Oh, interesting.
I'm going to come at him a little different. I'm going to give him a little bit different look in the third at bat.
Yeah.
And if you don't give him the chance to work on those adjustments, guess what? You're right. He won't be any good the third time around. It will become another self-fulfilling prophecy. So all of that, I think, is worthy of discussion.
It's time for Dr. Dan's Inbox.
Letters. Oh, we get letters. We get your letters every day.
Dear Dr. Dan, we kindly request that going forward, we are referenced in a new way. We are inspired by Miami University in Oxford, Ohio, known as the Cradle of Coaches. Their football staff once included W. Hayes, B. Schembechler, and L. Holtz, and many others. Those three went on to win national championships. Not for M University in Oxford, Ohio, mind you, but that's not the point. We, therefore, would like to be referred to as the cradle of NBA champions. Sincerely, M. Timberwolves.
Yeah. Yeah.
K. Garnett, K. Love.
We have.
A. Wiggins.
C. Billups.
C. Billups. Yeah, C. Billups.
Don't forget about C. Billups.
How could I forget?
A very sneaky one, very underrated one. Yeah, we've got that. We got that going for us. There's no question about that. And as we talked about earlier in the week, M. Thompson, the dad of T. Thompson. No, who's the Thompson?
K. Thompson.
K. Thompson. Golden State Warriors believes that the Wolves have earned a championship ring, kind of a collective ring, that the organization has earned exactly that for passing on Steph twice, passing on Thompson once, and also delivering A. Wiggins to the club as well. Every team has its, I guess you could say, signature. And unfortunately, we have two right now. Let's be honest. They are, one, we're awful, and if we can make the wrong decision, we will. And B, part of our awful decision-making, or sometimes necessary decision-making, because we've given up trying to figure it out with those players, and we're trying to give them a chance to win someplace else, is players leave here, sometimes flawed players, leave here, and ultimately are pretty much assured of participating in their own NBA championship run. And championship rings as well. The only thing that changes those two signatures is what the Wolves are hinting at being capable of doing after a very good regular season, kind of a disappointing playoff, but at least we got there, being better. Because if you get better, all those other narratives become less interesting to people and more boring to people. But until you do that, and by doing that, I don't mean one run to the playoffs, but I mean several runs to the playoffs and then some runs through the postseason. That's what we're stuck with. That's what we're going to continue to be.
Are you still on board with our "You're Welcome" video for the Warriors in their first appearance at Target Center?
100%.
Yeah. I think we need to do that too.
Yeah, they won't do it though.
Maybe have D'Lo present them with a ring, some type of banner.
D'Lo's going to be here. He's going to be the next one to win a ring
with San Antonio.
Well, I'll be honest. I would make that deal just to watch Pop and D'Lo work together.
We got to talk about that deal in the top five.
We'll get in that top five, and we'll ask Johnny's opinion about it as well, because he is part of that speculation regarding other potential trade suitors involving your Minnesota Timberwolves.
It's time for Dr. Dan's Inbox.
Kind of a throwback one here, but it's too good. Dear Dr. Dan, I've been getting a lot of heat on me about something. I just want to clear something up. I want to set something straight. There are endless fun things to do in South Dakota for adventurers of all ages and interests. Especially the iconic landmarks of our Great Eight that put South Dakota on the map. Explore many other sites and attractions, eat delicious foods, find a cozy place to stay for the night, whether B&B, campground, RV park, resort, or hotel or cabin. Family fun is easy when traveling with kids here between all the water parks and amusement parks to rodeos, drive-in movies, and more. And above all else, be sure to relax and enjoy the good life while here in SoDak. But I want to ensure all Minnesotans, and you, Dan, who's not one of us, there's only one, hashtag one Minnesota, T-Walls.
I thought the hashtag was going to be one Dakota.
Maybe it will.
On the basis of that particular.
Maybe it will.
Yeah, I'm still waiting. Maybe I missed the story, but I'm still waiting for the hammer to fall. What's the cliche I'm looking for here? The smoking gun, as it pertains to the legal document that indeed confirms that the governor of the great state of Minnesota has a cabin in South Dakota. I'd take it now in North Dakota. I'd take it in Wisconsin. I'd take it in Iowa. Any other state but Minnesota. Maybe that paperwork is in the mail, and we'll get to those of us in the public very, very soon.
And I'll say we got so many from T-Walls again today.
Quite a few.
So many.
All right.
So thank you, everybody, that did that. Here's a quick one. Dear Dr. Dan, sorry I can't write in a full letter this week. It's my scheduled day off. B. Buxton. I always love those.
It's time for Dr. Dan's Inbox.
Letters. Oh, we get letters. We get your letters every day.
Dear Dr. Dan, please permit me to use your platform to wish great luck to all the young men primed to follow in my peerless and elite NBA draft footsteps tonight. N-E-B.
What year did we take N-E-B?
I think it was 2004. I think it was the year after the Western Conference Finals. I'll look.
And the soundbite, the David Stern soundbite, became infamous because he mispronounced his first name, correct? He called him Duty Eby.
Yeah, we still have that one. That's one that does not go out of style.
Did he?
Duty Eby.
What a classic.
2003. So we drafted him. So he was a rookie on the MB3 team. He didn't play much, obviously, because
that was a time, like I said, where we weren't really that concerned about the draft. And I've said this before. One of the most, I think, legitimate criticisms of the Ostrich and or Flip regime back then, because they were both here then, correct?
Yes.
Was they were too flippant about the draft. They were so cocksure that, what are you going to get in the draft? Our roster's pretty well set. We got to tweak it here and there. What are you going to get out of the draft? And they showed it, quite frankly, by picking a number of players that were meaningless.
Yeah.
The best teams, even when they're not picking in the lottery or picking top 10, occasionally find a way to break through and add another piece. Because as we talked about with T. Conley, I think yesterday, that's what you got to count on. You can't think in terms of, well, we're really stacked at that position. You have to draft talent.
Man.
Because things happen. Things happen. And suddenly you find yourself, well, we got one too many good players, wing players. Well, guess what? Maybe that'll help us shore up another position. That was the LeBron draft, right?
It was. I pulled it up. This will just make you sick to your stomach. Because he was picked 26, which is later than I remember.
Yes.
He was picked 26th overall.
There are some nice names on this list. I see them. Go right ahead.
Immediately after.
Yes.
Because late first round, who are you going to get, right? Why not take a flyer? Mm-hmm. Let's work backwards from 29. Dallas takes Josh Howard, plays 10 years, scores 15,000 points.
That's the name at the time as a columnist I think I went to many times regarding this draft. But there are others, as you say.
28th, San Antonio Davy. Leandro Barbosa played 14 seasons, scored 18,000-plus points. One of the biggest TV stars in the game right now. Kendrick Perkins, Perkett play. Memphis, 14 seasons, 17,000 points. Pick 26, Duty Eby, 2 seasons, 40 points. And I screwed up with points and minutes. It was 4,200, 9,000, 72,700.
Do you want to go even deeper?
Into the second round?
Go to round two, pick 51. Take a look at that pick.
Kyle Korver. He was nice.
That worked out pretty well too, didn't it?
You see who we picked in the second round that year?
Yes, I do. Rick Rickert. That went well too, didn't it? That we, I think, did once again as a favor. See, that was the problem again at that point with this team is that they were way too cavalier. What the hell's the difference? We'll do the kid a favor and maybe we got something out of him. There was way, way too much of that with that regime, unfortunately, at the time because they were feeling like, okay, we're figuring this other stuff out. And quite frankly, if you do a better job all along, then maybe you don't even have to resort to MV3 the same way because MV3, as great as it was for a year, was destined to unravel. And it unraveled even quicker than you could have thought because it lasted one season, right? By year two, it was over. And the only reason they did it in the first place was all the other, you know, they had not brought in enough other pieces to help supplement what KG represented.
Did we have Mo Williams for a while?
I feel like we might have somewhere along the way.
He played 13 years in the NBA. Scored almost 11,000 points. He was picked 47th. There's some decent names even in the second round.
Where is Andy Eby now? Do we know?
I don't.
Out of curiosity?
Well, maybe we'll try to find him.
I have no idea. Yeah, he is out of Westbury Christian High School in Houston, Texas.
Duty Eby.
Born in Nigeria. Did you also see, by the way, speaking of Nigeria, apparently some big highfalutin new African basketball professional league that's going to be associated with the NBA? The continent of Africa, they're going to have the and it one of the stories I read basically said, well, this should have been done a while ago, but now the time is right. I think it's in conjunction with one other, is it with FIBA? I don't remember who. There's a couple of different organizations involved in it, and they think they're putting some, I think some serious money into it, and they think that they have a chance in the name again of expanding, shall we say, the brand.
Growing the game.
Growing the game, that it's going to be very helpful and lucrative in that regard.
It's time for Dr. Dan's Inbox.
Letters. Oh, we get letters. We get your letters every day.
Dear Dr. Dan, I recently heard an intriguing podcast with Steelers coach M. Tomlin, wherein he said with delicious sarcasm, he loves it when coaches run from coaching. His idea was that good players can actually be taught things, and that's, in fact, why he, M. Tomlin, has a job. Well, duh.
Is that a shot at a certain former Vikings coach?
Well, I think this letter is from a former Vikings coach.
Interesting, but I'm just wondering if that jab.
Oh.
It is itself sounds maybe like it could be taken as a shot at a former Vikings coach.
Maybe I wasn't such a loser after all, though perhaps the long, dusty finger of history will need time to find the proper inkwell for my rehab. Anywho, it got me thinking, Dr. Dan. After 4 years of Captain K at the helm, during which I was thwarted in fulfilling my request for 15 cornerbacks thanks to his contract, shouldn't we welcome, indeed cherish, players who want to improve and not just build a Lincoln Log house to the stars to get the perfect situation for a quarterback? Isn't it possible great athletes thrive in imperfection? That's what makes them great? Of course, I might be confused. This bourbon grotto is pretty hazy, and yet I'm getting ready back to peek back into the sunshine. An interview, perhaps? I'll check with my people, M. Zimmer.
I'm still waiting to get M. Zimmer on. Still waiting. It's still my dream. I have two interview dreams right now. M. Zimmer and B. Skaggs.
Yeah.
M. Zimmer and B. Skaggs. I mean, I have several, but those are the two current ones. I don't know. I'm not holding my breath on either one, quite frankly. But I would say, respectfully to M. Zimmer, if he listens to those comments from, what's the name of the Steelers coach?
M. Tomlin.
M. Tomlin. That almost sounded like a shot at any coaches who sort of throw up their hands and say, I can't do anything with them. Can't do anything with them. In effect, right?
Well, you know what's funny? I've heard so many coaches in my life do just that. And we're talking high-level coaches.
Well, because sometimes, you know what? It's true.
That is true.
The reality is, as much as what M. Tomlin is saying is profound and getting a lot of attention, and I hear it was an unbelievable interview.
It's a great podcast.
It's just a great podcast.
It's more of a conversation.
Conversation, exactly it. Guess what? You know, because I know that, because the politic thing to say right now, the virtue signaling thing to say is, you know what? It's up to me to get it out of that player. And sometimes it's true.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it's just BS. And it sounds cool to say it, but that's part of the reason that you've heard. You know, not everything a coach says is self-serving, believe it or not. A lot of it is. But sometimes they may be right to say, we got nothing. We're not getting anything more out of this guy. That's why, you know, organizations walk away from players.
Well, and
trades are made.
That's the key, is at some point, either got to keep coaching him
Correct.
Or her, or you got to move on from the player.
Speaking of moving on, what do we have for top five? Or do you have more?
No, we have. Well, I do, but we should go.
Okay.
All kinds of Wolves speculation and names to throw
juicy.
Around before the draft
right
2 hours from now.
It's going to be a fun. Should we go long tonight?
I can't. I have to go to Chris Rock at Mystic Lake, but you certainly
Good
can.
For you. Are you going to have a session with him backstage and an autograph?
Unlikely. Yeah. Unlikely, well, but I'd welcome it.
Given the Bill Cosby precedent, I would say. For him, for his sake, as well as yours.
Hey, here's some pictures with my wife and Cosby.
That might be.
That's not going to work.